Hey guys, and welcome to season 3 of the LeaderQuest podcast. So excited that you could join us this season. This season, we are profiling businesses hit by the COVID economy. So located within this next season are business owners, our business leaders, invested in local communities, traversing the world through the COVID economy. I hope that you are blessed. I hope that you can grow from it. And I hope that you are encouraged to keep pressing on. And if you know of a story or would like to share your own story, reach out to me, justin@justinhebert.com. I would love to profile you and share your story with the world. Hey, welcome everybody to the LeaderQuest podcast. This is season 3, where we are talking to business owners that have been forced to, in many ways, pivot during the 2020 pandemic. And we are examining them for their wisdom of not only how they have pivoted, but what the future of their business looks like. And today, I am joined by Louis Tolentino. He is the owner, CEO, president, all of the important titles at the Coffee Mill in Tehachapi, California. Used to live just a couple of blocks from there, got to know him and his wonderful family while we spent some time up there. And Louis, I am thrilled to have you on the podcast today. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So I have found, and I was kind of telling you this off camera, that I can give you an introduction, but then you have to think about your story and give it to me and I have to edit it. And I think what just works best is to tell people about you and who you are and how you've come to own and run and operate the Coffee Mill. And so why don't you just give us a little bit about who you are?
Sure. My background's always been in technology, and I've always consulted with large enterprise to even small businesses, specifically in their operations and the processes that they are running. And then I got into my own business, specifically taking care of special needs adults. We provide housing, education, and supportive employment. Ancillary to that business are these small businesses that we're starting to open up, one of which is this coffee shop. Because we've started this coffee shop and the inevitable shutdown of California, in fact, the whole world, I had to put my energy and time into it, and this is where we're at. So I'm focused on the Coffee Mill, making sure it is successful before I venture off into other retail shops that we have plans.
Excellent. Great. Yeah. And that, what I like, if you don't mind sharing some more of that backstory, your work with special needs people is part of your own story, but it's this larger scope and vision that you have, right? Like outside of, hey, we want to run some business to support some people. You actually have this larger vision for what you want to see accomplished. Would you mind sharing briefly what that looks like?
Yeah. So back in 2008, we had a dilemma. My wife and I were considering what's going to happen to our oldest daughter. She's now 26 years old. When we no longer have the capacity to take care of her, whether it's physical or we expire. So we went on this path of trying to figure out who can support her. And based on what we found out there in California or anywhere else in the US, institutionalized facilities were not the answer for us. So we decided to come up with our own business plan and wrote a specific basically support around their lifestyle, and that is residential and education, not just a babysitting gig like some of the day programs that we've experienced out there, but we are teaching them remedial things, whether if it's life skills or job skills that they can pretty much do based on their level. And then of course, supportive employment. Those three services are in an all-encompassing facility. I hate to call it facility, but it is. It's a ranch that we bought and we're developing, so we can build tiny homes and other homes, as well as a learning center where they can go to get education.
Excellent. Well, that'll be fun to see come to fruition and the ways you provide for your family. Now, you mentioned at the start of this that the 2020 shutdown, when we shut down the world, right?
Yeah, we did.
Has forced maybe more of your attention on this coffee shop than maybe you initially anticipated. And so it has become your sole focus. And so let's just start there. How have you had to pivot in the midst of 2020?
So just to step back a little bit, a few months prior to February of officially owning the coffee shop, the coffee mill, in November, I did negotiations with the previous owner, got involved with the shop just to see what's behind the curtain, the operations. And then, of course, I saw a lot of areas for improvement, and I put my own style into it. By January, we close to tripled the sales. And then February, we were more than 3.5 times what they were making. And again, he was asking what we did. Essentially, just the basic fundamentals of business. Take care of the customer, complete the transaction with the utmost honesty, because like I said, there are some things that I saw. Just, again, basic fundamental rules of business. And number one is customer service. Mm-hmm. So after we've taken over in February, we did have these great plans for expanding. There are two buildings on my property. The second building, we are going to open up a bakery and expand the kitchen. So the menu will expand for sure. Come March 12th, we got the notification from the world that we're shutting down. And that's when all my investment, all my contractors that were in line to start breaking down the property, the architect, everybody, I had to put them on hold. I did not want to put money into an uncertainty because, again, the goal, I believe it was around 4 months, and I was willing to wait 4 months. And now we're past 4 months, and we're still somewhat waiting for California to open up. So that's where we're at with regards to what took place as a 30,000 foot level. We're still waiting for California to open up so that way I can continue with my investment.
Were you guys initially closed? How long were you closed? And how did you guys adapt to reopen as an essential service?
So we stayed open. I kept my employees on board. And as we saw the decline in business, we lost close to 95% of our sales. Pretty significant, of course. So I continued to pour in the money just to cover payroll. And it got to a point where come end of April, I had to let my employees go. And I encouraged them that they're getting this extra $600 a week. They wanted to stay on board, but I told them that there's no revenue. There's no business, so it doesn't make sense for me to pay them anymore. So instead of firing them, I just let them go. So that way they do qualify for the unemployment plus the COVID-19 assistance that is $600 a week for them. So they actually made a lot more money on unemployment than working for me. So they were pretty excited about that. So mine and my wife's mindset was to go through the grind. And it was her and I, plus our clients, because not only were businesses closed, the day programs were closed with the special needs adults that we take care of at our group homes. So they were also at our coffee shop. So we were both babysitting and taking care of them at the coffee shop while running a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. So we knew that there was no giving up. And failure certainly was not an option. So we wanted to invest in this and just ride it through and grind it through. So we stayed open. And it wasn't until May that the doubts started coming in. And May was, I was ready to shut down because there was just no business coming through. And because of some of the restrictions, of course, our coffee shop is not built for drive-through, and the city will not allow me because with the infrastructure, it's not built that way. However, you know, my biggest competitor, of course, is Starbucks. They have the drive-through, and there was just lines in line. So the market was there for coffee, mm-hmm. for sure. So that's what gave me hope to stay open. So I knew that if I can change things around here, whether if it's catering to the needs of the passerbys just needing to pass by and grab their coffee or a walk up and deliver it to them, we were willing to do that. And so we did anything and everything we can. It was humbling to go through that process just to stay open. But like I said, come May, we almost shut down until Kern County, in the county that we are in, opened up. And immediately the floodgates opened, people started showing up and was extremely supportive of our business. Mm. And that's how we are. We're able to stay open.
Yeah, which says a lot, not just about the need in the market that was there, but you mentioned to start, you know, when you started to dabble in this even last year, hey, one of those fundamentals is treating the customer right. I'm intrigued if you could very quickly, because it sounds like you were treating more than just the customer right. In the midst of all of this, your employees actually wanted to stay and work. Right? It sounds like you almost had to talk them into taking unemployment, which means you're not just treating the customer right, you're treating your employees right. Say more just about that culture you're trying to create in your organization.
Yeah, so it is a coffee shop. Some of the things I'm teaching my supervisor is just our methodology and management principles that we go by. And it is with dignity and respect that we treat people. Basic things like if you see something that is wrong, you don't need to correct the employee in front of our customers or and you know, where there could be heard, take them in the back and do my approach. I have three ways of communication for my employees. Number one is just dialogue. It's just talking about business, talking about processes. Number two, which is the next level up, is we're consulting with them, we're coaching them. Making sure that we are on the same page. I ask them certain questions, making sure that they do understand their task and role. And then I provide coaching based on where they have their mindset at. If there is a lack of skill set, then I coach them to that. But if we have to coach them, you know, after three times, then it's the third option, which is correction. And that's where we have to go through the formality of, you know, making sure that they really do understand that they are being possibly warned or written up. But nonetheless, we're trying to create a culture where there is an open communication between employees as well as the supervisors. And I give them an opportunity to socialize. I don't want them to be just workers. I want them to befriend our customers. And that's part of the role of customer service. We want to be extremely hospitable, extremely welcoming. And that's one of the things that at a retail shop, first and foremost, is paramount because customer service is quite rare these days in any platform.
Take me to the future. You said you had to put some other business ideas on hold, some extra additions to the property, the bakery. So what is the future of your business look like? How do you see this change continuing forward?
And this is where the concept of risk and reward really does come to fruition. And there's certain aspects of my thoughts and what Q4 looks like, as well as in 2021. That is quite scary because I don't want to throw down six figures into a building and then the market doesn't show up, whether if it's regulations or restrictions or we're still in the challenge of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. The risk is to proceed with the projects that I have, and that's what I'm wanting to do. So we're looking at possibly spring of 2021, where in the spring of 2021, I'm thinking it doesn't matter what the market looks like right now. I need to build this foundation in terms of what Tehachapi needs. And that is a great bakery. That is great coffee. And we are bringing in a roaster. So we're going to roast our own beans and create our own stout beer out of coffee. So we're only going to brew stout. So we're not competing with the local breweries here, but primarily stout with a variety of flavors. So we're going to position ourselves where we are unique and some of the pastries and breads that we are making. And also bring something back to Tehachapi, which is hard cider. Tehachapi was well known to be an apple orchard ag place, but we're going to bring that back with producing hard cider, basically. So that is a risk, and that is our plan for at least Q2. By next year of Q2, we're going to start investing. Despite what's going on with the market, we just need to create that foundation here. So that way, when it's said and done, I always have this principle that as much as I was hesitant to do this during COVID-19 lockdown, I still believe in it. There's a story about the two farmers who did not prepare their lands because it was a drought. And then all of a sudden, one guy who prepared his land started growing the crops because of the rain that came, while the other was not even prepared because he didn't expect the rain to come because of the drought. So I want to be that farmer who prepares the land, so when the rain comes, I'll reap the benefits from it.
Yeah.
It's a risk.
Yeah, it is. I'm reminded of the Chinese proverb that says the best time to plant an oak tree is 20 years ago and the second best time is today.
Yeah.
And so today you're planting that oak tree. Right. I'm curious, in the midst of that planning here, you have, as you've already told us, made some changes to your business, this contactless delivery and all these ways that you had to pivot to even survive to this point. For you and where you see this business growth happening, are any of those changes temporary, kind of seeing you through the last stages of this pandemic, or have you seen enough fruit from some of these that you're making some permanent changes to your business?
So the latter, because we're actually adjusting based on, again, I mean, it's we're inevitably going to change just based on what's going on with the market as well as any kind of regulations that's being set out there. So whatever the market brings us, we are open and agile enough to be flexible and change based on what the market's requesting. So as we continue to build this, because there's also another opportunity for me to open up a second coffee shop in the new development that's coming here in Tehachapi. There's about 2,700 units of housing, both houses and apartments. They're building a community center with a gym, a theater, and a cafe, in which I was the first pick to lease it. So I just asked the developer if I could have the corner so I can have drive-through capability. He said, absolutely. So there's an opportunity there also at the same time when we're going to expand this coffee shop. So based on, again, capabilities, we're willing to change as well as accept some of the things that's happening with California just to make sure the customers are, their needs are met.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. How have you? I'm intrigued by this. These additions to the business, right? I don't know of any other coffee shops that are offering hard cider and stout, but I think it's a great idea. Like that, that alone gets me excited. How did you come to that conclusion? I think is a question I'm trying to ask.
I love the uncertainty and the unknown, sometimes nebulous path that Steve Jobs took. Whenever he came up with product, his board would always decline because they didn't believe in him. Even though they rehired him, they didn't believe on some of the things that they're doing, especially with iPad. They're like, who's going to use this? Well, look at it. It blew up, mm-hmm. and they're selling a lot of iPads. Because he has this uncanny, prophetic almost, ability to understand what the market's looking for. And sometimes you would just create it and they will come. And in this case here, in my travels, because of IT, I traveled the world. And some of the coffee shops, I just love coffee shops. And not necessarily like Starbucks, but the unique coffee shops that I would go visit, they didn't just offer a specialty coffee. They offered some of the other ancillary products and services that is accommodating to coffee. One of which is a reserve menu that we are going to have specifically just for espresso. We're going to get our liquor license and add whiskey to our coffee, but it doesn't give you a buzz or get you drunk. It just brings the flavor profile of espresso to a whole new level. Mm. And we're going to test that out and see how the market responds. But based on all my travels, people love liquored coffee. Not necessarily, like I said, it's not going to get you a buzz or drunk, and we're certainly not trying to create an atmosphere where we become a bar. It is going to be a specialty cafe, focused on the products that usually where people love to meet, hang out, family atmosphere. And that's something that's missing in this market here in Tehachapi. Because, you know, there's plenty of bars here. We just want someplace that's clean, that has the right products, both on the meal side as well as on the desserts.
Yeah, excellent. You know, and having spent 3 years in Tehachapi, and I still make it back there occasionally, I'm honestly quite frankly surprised nobody thought of this sooner, and I'm really excited to see, because I think you guys are going to meet a huge need, and I think that that's just really, really cool. I do, and I kind of told you off camera that this would be your third question, because the entire theme of this season on the podcast is hopefully to provide some encouragement to business owners. Right. I'm looking at other entrepreneurs, I'm looking at other business owners from a variety of fields and segments and walks of life who have all had to, in one way or another, transverse through 2020. And the reality is that even as we emerge from this, everything is not all roses. I'm sure even if you are starting to see an uptick in business, it's not where you were pre-pandemic, is at least my guess. Mm-hmm. Which means that there are still some doubts, some questions, some fears, some worries, some challenges that you in the day in operation of your business are trying to tackle. And what I want to do, one of the hopes of this season on the podcast, is to provide some encouragement for people who are trying to start or run or manage or grow their own business in the midst of this. That some studies have come out that entrepreneurship is actually on the rise, that more people are using this as an opportunity to start a business they've always wanted. But hey, man, that's a hard road. I remember being there, right? Things are not easy. So if you don't, all of that to say, if you don't mind sharing with our audience, some of your shared wisdom, because we're all in this together, what's like a question or a challenge that you are currently wrestling with, to let people know they're not alone in the midst of this?
The biggest challenge I'm facing right now is myself because of the doubt. As an entrepreneur, as a business owner, and also in my career in sales and business development, I've had the opportunity to be successful and made really good money, saved, lost it, almost became homeless, struggled, starved to death. Literally, we were hungry, but was able to pick ourselves back up. And we're in a position right now to continue to invest. So we've been there. We've been in some really, really dark moments in our lives, both my wife and I and our kids, where it was humbling. But at the same time, when the opportunity came, I took a shot, and I'm reaping the rewards. I think I have to revert back to that mentality that I have to be risky. I have to be willing to give it all and not be too conservative about my investments, because I know what it feels like to lose, but from losing or failing, it's that attitude of having to go through that grind and knowing that, hey, it's a new day. There's more opportunities that's coming up, and I just got to pick myself up and not be too hesitant to pull the trigger. So like I said, with spring of 2021, I am going to have that mindset that, hey, let's go ahead and invest into our buildings here and just be prepared. So when the market really does open up, we'll have everything set up for people to come to. Tehachapi is becoming almost like a stop for visitors crossing the 58, whether it's going to West or East California. People are stopping here at Tehachapi, and they're finding us as a specialty coffee shop. They don't want to stop by a grocery store for a Starbucks or the Starbucks store themselves. So I see that. And my battle is, why am I hesitating to build? Because I have the capability now, and I don't want to hold on to this, because then I'll lose the chance to possibly win. Kind of like, you know, when I was single, I hesitated to ask girls because I was too afraid to get a no answer until somebody told me, why not? Through the process of failure or denial, I end up refining myself. And I got to go through that process So I know how to refine myself. And it's this process that I can refine myself. If things don't happen by 2021, when we invest, I can adjust. And that's the only way I can adjust is going through it if I don't experience it.
Yeah. Oh man, that's good stuff. Tons of wisdom in that, just ways that we could continue to unpack, right? We are presented with shots and you've got to take them, working through our own inner critic and our own kind of voice that tells us to silence. You know, one of those things that I have had to learn that, you know, I heard in your story that is maybe the common breaking point for all entrepreneurs is it's always a no if you don't ask, right? Like, you're afraid to ask a girl out, guess how many dates you're going to get, right? Like, it's already a no. You might as well ask and get and strive for that yes. And so hearing you say that is great. And to be honest, you took a little bit of my thunder away from the final question that I always throw out as a surprise because you've already laid it down for us, but I'm going to give you another chance. This is the question that I did not tell you that was coming because I just love it when it's off the cuff.
Sure.
Would you, to close today's episode out, give us a final word of wisdom or encouragement?
It goes in the theme of what we were talking about. And I was just talking to one of my customers who is also trying to find her path and her passion. And it just came to me where that speech, that part of speech, it's called The Arena. That's about the person who goes out in the arena, who's marred, who doesn't give a damn if he's being criticized for his work. He expects to fail, but also, again, expect to win. Mm-hmm. And no matter who's out in the arena, who's criticizing him, at least he or she is out in the arena doing the work. And I think that's where true growth comes, is if you're experiencing those moments, those circumstances, and not to be afraid. Because often our, at least with my knee-jerk reaction is, I don't want to be in an uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
But we strive to be better. Well, that's what's inevitable, is to go through those circumstances where it's going to cause you to really grow. And that's the process that we're going through now, is we're forced to grow because we are in this situation with COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you. Hey, as we wrap up, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your time. But I want people to be able to follow up with you, whether they like something today and want to reach out, or the next time they're on the 58 swinging through Tehachapi, they want to stop. What are the ways that we can get in touch with you?
I am definitely available via Facebook, LOUISTOLENTINO. It's a picture of me and my grandson right now. Also, when they come into town, I am the only competing coffee shop against Starbucks, and we are called the Coffee Mill. I'm here or at the ranch working, but nonetheless, I'm available for anybody who would like to chat.
Excellent. And what's the phone number at the Coffee Mill if they want to place one of those to-go orders as they're swinging through?
Sure. Time? Sure. It's 661-822-6455. There's also an app when you go in through our website or look us up through Google, where you can order it via app as well.
Excellent. Lewis, thank you today for joining us on the LeaderQuest podcast and the wisdom that you have brought everybody. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jesse.
What did you think of our interview with Lewis Tolentino of the Coffee Mill? Be sure to leave a comment, subscribe if you haven't, and share it with those in your network. And we will see you on the next episode of the LeaderQuest podcast, where we're interviewing another business owner to help you traverse the COVID economy.